198 from Psalm 72, titled The Blessings of Emmanuel's Reign. That is speaking of the glory of the King Jesus Christ and his kingdom, taking care and thought for all those who are in need and the greatness of his mercy. We sing the first three stanzas and seven, 1 through 3 and 7 of Psalter 198. Scripture reading this morning is Psalm 146. The text of this morning's sermon in connection with the administration of the Lord's Supper is verses 7 through 9 of this psalm. Psalm 146. Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help. His breath goeth forth, he returneth to his earth. In that very day his thoughts perish. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, which made heaven and earth, the sea and all that therein is, which keepeth truth forever, which executeth judgment for the oppressed, which giveth food to the hungry. The Lord looseth the prisoners. The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. The Lord raiseth them that are bowed down. The Lord loveth the righteous. The Lord preserveth the strangers, relieveth the fatherless and widow, but the way of the wicked he turneth upside down. The Lord shall reign forever, even thy God, O Zion, unto all generations. Praise ye the Lord. So far we read God's holy word. The text of this morning's sermon is verses 7 through 9. These words, which executeth judgment for the oppressed, which giveth food to the hungry. The Lord looseth the prisoners. The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. The Lord raiseth them that are bowed down. The Lord loveth the righteous. The Lord preserveth the strangers. He relieveth the fatherless and widow. But the way of the wicked he turneth upside down. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, the word of God before us this morning is itself the actual, deliberative, contemplative action that is the desired determination of the psalmist that he expresses in verse 2. Such is his desire, such is his determination to glorify God, that he expresses his desire and his purpose to use his whole life and all of his being to praise and to glorify and magnify his God. While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. So we come to the word of God before us this morning as the action of the psalmist carrying out that desire. These are all the things that the Lord does to his praise, and to his honor, and to his glory. It answers the question, how is this great? How is this great God to be glorified? How is he to be magnified? What makes him so praiseworthy? And these are the deeds that are told about him. These are the deeds that are declared, demonstrating what kind of God he is. Deeds not merely spoken of generally, but deeds proved, deeds manifested, deeds shown in all the ways of God toward his people. Ways always of grace and ways always of mercy. But here we want to see and to understand a great marvel and a great wonder. As we might give our entire lives to the praise and glory of our God according to the psalm. As this subtle purpose might be ours, I will praise the Lord while I have any being. Whatever we might find to say about our God, whatever work might come to our attention to speak of, to declare and explain in praise of our God, whatever part or aspect of him might be shown and made clear, no matter what it is always something that brings God glory and honor and praise. And at the very same time, it is always something that commends him to us to be our trust, to be our hope. So that in the midst of all these praises of God, it is ours to say, happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. But there is one deed. There is one act of God that is the most outstanding of them all. One deed, one act of God that shows him to be so eminently a God of mercy, a God to be praised, and a God worthy of our trust. And that one single act of God is the sacrifice of his Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross. It is our glorious privilege this morning in partaking of communion, not merely to understand what the psalmist tells us as from the Word of God, but so to eat and so to drink by faith of the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, that the same determination may be present powerfully and wondrously in our hearts. I'll praise the Lord while I have any being, and that we might find this to be our one great passion, our one great delight, to declare and tell this to be the praise of God's mercy. And this that shows forth God's glory so richly and so abundantly, that cross of our Lord Jesus Christ as our hope and our trust by which we are forever blessed. So we consider this word of God of our text under the theme, God, Our Hope. We see, first of all, the merciful deeds, secondly, the mighty truth, and finally, the blessed knowledge. As we consider the words of our text this morning, it must be most evident to us that there are two very powerful ties and bonds presented in these verses. And these verses really all stand together so closely, so tightly, to show, first of all, the name of God, and then secondly, the wonder and the glory of His mercy. That name of God is given to us chiefly in verse 5. But there is a chain that runs all the way through verses 5 through 7 that gathers together all these works and declares them all to be the works of the God whose name is Jehovah. Jehovah has that wonderful, that glorious name of God that is His personal name. It identifies Him, it distinguishes Him from all other gods of all other nations, but at the same time, that name declares the glory and the transcendent majesty of this God. As He is Jehovah, He is the I Am That I Am, exalted above all that is of the creature, all that is of time, forever the same as absolute in His being. But secondly, that name of God identifies Him as He comes to and approaches His people as a God of promise to them and a God of covenant mercy, promising forever to be their God. And as He is that God who is I Am, the I Am that I Am, He is always the God who has promised. He is the I Am who always remembers His promise. And He is the I Am who always keeps His promise of His covenant to be always and ever near to His people whom He has chosen in Jesus Christ. It is that name that is fundamentally the chain of this passage. And that chain is identified, first of all, in verses 7, 6 and 7, as they begin with the word which. And even in the original Hebrew, that word which is something of an interruption. The form of the verb is used that sticks or clings most closely to the subject of the action. It is not itself concerned then with what is done, but who is the doer of it. We might read it this way. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, that is in Jehovah his God, made heaven and earth, the sea and all that therein is, keeping truth forever, executing judgment for the oppressed, giving food to the hungry, the Lord looseth the prisoners. And now as that distance is meant and as that distance is formed from verse 5 all the way through verses 6 and to the end of verse 7, lest we forget about whom we are speaking, we have given to us the name again, the Lord loosing the prisoners, the Lord opening the eyes of the blind, Jehovah raising them that are bowed down, Jehovah loving the righteous, Jehovah preserving the strangers, Jehovah relieving the fatherless and the widow, but the way of the wicked he turneth upside down. The Lord which. This is the work of Jehovah. This tie and this bond must be to us so powerful, so wonderful, that you and I must say these cannot be only the works of God. They are who He is. They are who he is. What he does in his mercy demonstrates always the kind of God that he is. All that he does, as it shows what kind of God he is, must be traced back to his being and must demonstrate what the fountain and source of all these deeds is. He is a God of mercy. He is a God of blessedness. He is a God of goodness to bestow upon those who are in need. And therefore, as he is to be praised and glorified in all these works, always is this demonstrated. He is a God to be trusted. He is a God to be our hope. So that it is ever true, happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. And so recommended to us, set before us as he who must be our trust and our hope. But then we want to look in that light at the members of this list. What composes it? What takes it up? And we have all these elements which alike form a grand and glorious chorus to sing the praises of this God who has done such marvelous things. He executeth judgment for the oppressed. He finds the oppressed. He finds them beaten down. He finds them pressed sorely. He finds them abused and neglected, laboring. And he executes judgment in their behalf. He works by mighty power to deliver them. He gives food to the hungry. He sees them in their hunger. He sees them in their need. He knows how their bodies cry out for food. And he moves to open his hand wide to them to give them their food. The Lord sees those who are in prison. He sees them in darkness. He sees them as chafed by their chains and their bonds. He sees them in their confinement by themselves. And he delivers them. He breaks their chains. He bursts open their doors. And he sets them at liberty. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. He sees them in their blindness. He sees them in their blindness wandering. He sees them in their blindness, injuring themselves, walking in darkness, not knowing where they go. And he gives them what they need. He blesses them with a restoration of their sight. He sees the strangers in the land. He sees them being taken advantage of. He sees them oppressed because they are strangers and wanderers having no home. The Lord guards them. The Lord keeps them. The Lord preserves them. He sees the fatherless and the widow in their desolation and poverty and need. He sees those who have no one to supply their needs, no one to be their protector. And he comes down to act in their behalf. He gives them relief that they need from their enemies. And though the righteous are hated by the wicked, though they're persecuted by the wicked, it is for the righteous to know and be assured that the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, Jehovah, who is their God, loves them. And in his loving kindness and faithfulness, he will deliver them. He will preserve them from their enemies. The way of the wicked, the Lord turns upside down. He exercises judgment in the earth and overthrows the ways of the wicked in the rebellion against God. Such is his glory. We want to see one thing that ties them together. We have the word of verse 7 that opens this list, which executeth judgment for the oppressed, and it ends with the same kind of word. The way of the wicked he turneth upside down. God is a God of justice. God is a God of judgment. And as he acts in the greatness of his mercy, always he manifests his justice. delivering the poor, loving the righteous, hating the wicked, and overthrowing all of the wicked. Now, you and I must see how we are meant to apply and direct ourselves in the way of these works of God that show His mercy. We might say that this is the way of going up and down, going up and down. We are meant to be up, that is, before God's presence, to know the glory of His majesty and His honor in order to extol and praise Him. But then we are meant to say our praises cannot be merely in the clouds. They must not be merely in the sky. Must go back down to earth to see there upon the earth all the Lord's works. To search out and see, well, where are the blind? Where are those that are bowed down? Where are the strangers? Where are the fatherless and widow? Look for them. See God's help for them. See how God cares for them. And with that knowledge so full and so rich, to go back up before God to praise and magnify Him as this God, wonderful in mercy and blessed in grace to us, and to do so our entire lives. This God delights to prove. He delights to show and demonstrate that He is this God of mercy, delighting to prove it and show it to us, not only that we may praise Him, but that He may be more and more our trust and our hope, that we might say out of our hearts, so blessed, happy is that man that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. But here too, in this praise of God, we must see the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ, and that truth of our Lord Jesus Christ as the truth of these praises of God in Psalm 146, verses 7 through 9. Here is, in this psalm, our Lord Jesus Christ. We have this word then as a prophecy. We can see that very clearly when we look at the deeds of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one who cast out demons, strong demons, mighty demons that oppressed the weak. He delivered them from their chains. He delivered them out of their imprisonment. We think of the woman that was bowed down with a spirit of infirmity for so many years. The Lord Jesus Christ set free on the Sabbath day in the synagogue. We think of our Lord Jesus Christ caring for the fatherless and the widow when He raised in His mercy the son of the poor widow of Nain, that he might come back to life to be able to care for his mother who was a widow. We think of the judgments they'd executed against His enemies, the Pharisees, showing to them that they were under the wrath of God, and that as hypocrites, they were under the just judgment of God, as wicked and sinful, though they thought themselves to be so very righteous. And yet this passage is not merely prophetic, because it is these deeds drawn out that are so clearly found and shown in our Lord Jesus Christ in His earthly ministry. The proof is far, far stronger. Think of the word of Jesus Christ in the synagogue at the beginning of His public ministry, recorded in Luke chapter 4. Please turn with me to that passage, Luke chapter 4. This is what He read, and this is what He talked about in the synagogue of Nazareth. Reading from another prophecy of the book of Isaiah. Luke 4, verse 18. We found where it was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And to say, according to verse 21, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Now, what you must see going on in that verse from Isaiah that Jesus Christ read is, first of all, preaching. Preaching. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me so that I may preach, declare, tell, explain. But that declaration, but that preaching is a powerful and mighty declaration and preaching. We have that in the same verse. He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. By that preaching, he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Preaching that was efficacious, preaching that was powerful, blessed by the Holy Spirit, and shown and demonstrated by that word of Christ. That same word that preached said, thy sins be forgiven thee. It said, thy servant is made whole. It said, Lazarus, come forth. It said, peace, be still. It said, come ye out of him. And that word delivered. That word healed. That word restored sight. Such is the power of the mercy, such is the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Another similar passage we find in Luke chapter 7. As John the Baptist sent to Jesus Christ this message through his disciples, art thou he that should come, or look we for another? That is, art thou the Messiah? Art thou the Christ? And this is how Jesus answered the question. Verse 21, in that same hour he cured many of their infirmities and plagues and of evil spirits. Unto many that were blind he gave sight. Then Jesus answering said unto them, go your way and tell John what things ye have seen and heard, how that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, to the poor the gospel is preached. And then the same words follow that we have in Psalm 145, verse 5. Happy, blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me. And here we have truly the glory of the incarnation. It is this God, the Jehovah of Psalm 145, verses 7 through 9, that became flesh, that took to himself a human nature, in that human nature to preach the gospel, to restore sight to the blind, to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to feed the hungry, as the very works of God, for he is himself Jehovah. His name Jesus, Jehovah salvation, and the one who is Emmanuel, that is God with us. But the glory of this mercy of Jesus Christ is found in such a mercy, not only to be born as a man among men, to be incarnate, even in the form of a servant, but in that lowly, humble, meek service, to take our sins upon him and to go to the cross. And on that cross, that this God Jehovah, in the person of the Son, bore our sins on that tree of the cross. Nailed to that cross to lay down his life, giving his body to be broken, giving his blood to be shed for our redemption from our sin. That we who were only sinners, only ungodly, might know this mercy of Jesus Christ to make us righteous before God. In that righteousness, and by that righteousness, to cause us to live before God, to raise us from our death, to give to us righteousness for our sins, to turn our blindness into sight, to break our hardened hearts, to trust in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. All the fruits, all the effects of that glorious, wondrous cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now we must ask the question, why the psalm then? What is its point? We look at the way the psalm is constructed and put together, showing this wonderful mercy of our God to us, shown so clearly in our Lord Jesus Christ. Why are we to know and know God in this way of being praised, honored, and glorified on account of his mercy? All the power of this praise, all the power of this glory of God is meant to go into the way and into the way of verse 5. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. This praise is not meant to be administered as from afar off. Yes, God is that glory, that glorious. Yes, he is that merciful. And yes, even perhaps blessed is that man that maketh the God, that has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. But I don't know about myself. Maybe. Or I might hope that he's merciful to me. Not at all. This is a psalm for the church to know, for the church to sing, and for the church to be those that are happy to have the God of Jacob for their help, happy to have their hope in the Lord their God. So it must be with the Lord's Supper for us today. You and I have set before us a table. A table. Not a glass case. You and I have set before us on that table food and drink. What is the purpose? What is the reason? Food and drink is not made. Food and drink is not given merely to be looked upon. Food and drink is not given merely to be looked upon and desired. Food and drink is set out. Food and drink is prepared. Food and drink is set on a table to be eaten, to be drunken, to be partaken of. It is the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ as raised up on the tree of the cross to be believed upon. Righteousness maintained, righteousness established, life given to be received, to be believed upon, to be eaten and drunken, and by that eating and drinking through faith to live by the mercy of our God to us. So it is given to us to know and to be blessed. So we come to the table for mercy. We come to that table as those who are oppressed, hungry, imprisoned, blind, bowed down, as strangers, as needy as the fatherless and widow, to know the mercies of our God to us sinners, to know that mercy in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, in his body broken and his blood shed for the remission of our sins, for our righteousness, for our life, and that being so filled, we might say, Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul, while I live. I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, we thank thee for thy word. Bless thy word to our hearts, that we may know thee, that we may trust thee as the God so rich, boundless, and endless in mercy to us through thy Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. So bless this word to our hearts that we might be brought to the Lord's Supper today to partake of these signs and seals of the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, that we may partake of them in faith. So to eat and drink our Lord Jesus Christ crucified, and so to be nourished by his body and blood unto everlasting life, to be strengthened in faith, that we may more and more love thee, serve thee, and praise and bless thy name. For Jesus' sake alone we pray. Amen. We now turn to the form for the administration of the Lord's Supper.